Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two on the Early Line Tuesday edition. Donnie Wrightside here and Kevin Walsh. Kicking it, man. 2 hours. Sometimes we don't have enough time here. But you know what? There's plenty of time here to talk Kevin Durant and landing spots because, Kevin, when we talked about earlier in hour number one, Kevin Durant unhappy. Hey, fire these guys or trade me out of town. We'll see if that takes place. But we do need destinations and landing spots. We've known the usual suitors out here, Kevin. Talk about some of the places where Kevin Durant could possibly land. And more importantly, do we have any sneaky options out there where maybe somebody is flying under the radar?
We'll get to the sneaky options in a minute because we do have three concrete teams on the table right now with the Raptors, the Heat, and the Celtics. In Shams Charania's update yesterday, he said that those are the most significant candidates to acquire Kevin Durant right now and added that the Boston package centered around Jaylen Brown is seen as a legitimate deal. So there's a couple of takeaways here, but for me, Boston and Miami jumped off the page the most. The Boston jumps off the page because it's added that the Jaylen Brown deal is seen as viable. It looks like the Nets are setting the table here to tell the Celtics, you have what we want. Jaylen Brown has made an all-star team. He is young. He has a couple years left on his deal. And we believe that we can build around him, stay competitive now, stay competitive down the road. Let's make a deal. It makes the Celtics probably the early favorites, or I guess not early at this point, to land a Kevin Durant. Miami jumps off the page for a different reason. Miami being on this list and not the Phoenix Suns is fascinating because we remember the initial Kevin Durant list, Donnie, told us that he wanted to go to the Suns mostly and secondly the Miami Heat, yet no Phoenix on this list. That to me suggests that the Miami Heat have enough in-house to get a deal done with the Brooklyn Nets, but they have to figure out the specifics. That, though, is a little more complicated because if Bam Adebayo is the centerpiece of the deal, which we're assuming he would be, that means Ben Simmons has to be shipped off. Or it means that Miami Heat have enough to get a deal done without including Bam Adebayo, in which case the Miami Heat should get that deal done yesterday. But I don't think that's the case. So there's a potential here that if a Kevin Durant move is executed, and we've known this had a potential for a little bit, don't count out the idea that we are looking for a new basketball team once again for Ben Simmons.
Who has the leverage here, Kevin? Because remember we talk about the Green Bay Packers where Aaron Rodgers came out, maybe the best quarterback in football. I'm not playing here if this GM is going to be here. Oh, but they're going to fire that GM in 2 days and they'll give Aaron Rodgers whatever he wants. That didn't happen. And Aaron Rodgers is still in Green Bay and he's happy with a new contract. So I ask you this question. If we're looking from a Nets perspective, do they have the leverage knowing that we just saw Joseph Tsai basically back his own guys and around the NBA, they know this as well. Nets make out better or the teams getting him, do you think, are going to make out better here?
Fascinating question. I would probably tell you that the teams looking to acquire Kevin Durant because the Nets are put in a really difficult spot here. They do not have their own draft picks. So they cannot sit here and say, you want to sit out, fine. We'll be terrible, and we don't care. We'll just rack up draft capital, and we will be fine. And at some point, we think that you'll tap out. Our radio audience is here on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the Early Line, SiriusXM, Channel 159, talking some Kevin Durant landing spots here. Because I think now, considering Joe Tsai basically, would we say answered the ultimatum? Yeah, I'm not firing Marks and Nash. So fine, I'll trade you. I just think while the Nets have leverage in that they are trading a top seven player in the NBA, and that's going to require a major return, but they don't have maximum leverage. They're not in the best place they could possibly be in. So all in all, that probably is a part. That's a big reason the deal isn't done yet. Because a team like the Toronto Raptors is like, yeah, we're not including Scottie Barnes. Hey, call us back when you're serious. Not the team that has Kevin Durant on the table.
So if we're looking from that Nets perspective here, and the Celtics go, we're not trading you Jaylen Brown. That's off the table. Well, that's who we wanted. Yeah. We're not trading you Bam Adebayo for the Miami Heat. Well, that's who we wanted. We're not trading you Scottie Barnes for the Raptors because that's who the Nets wanted. Sleeper teams. Who else can be included as a possibility here?
So this is the interesting fallout from yesterday. It is fair to say that Sean Marks, who now is going to try and execute a Kevin Durant deal, does not care at all what Kevin Durant wants. Again, publicly, basically to our knowledge, Kevin Durant said, fire that guy. Why I think that's relevant is if there is a basketball team out there, say the New Orleans Pelicans, that is going to take a chance, you know what? I don't think KD is going to hold out. We'll have him under contract for three full seasons. There is no way that if we trade Brandon Ingram, Kevin Durant doesn't show up on our basketball team and play with CJ McCollum and play right now with Zion Williamson and put his best foot forward. Because to me, DRS, if you're Sean Marks, why do you care about what Kevin Durant wants when he just tried to get you fired and everybody knows it?
And we're not even sure that Kevin Durant and Mr. Marks, the GM, even had a conversation since he's been to the Nets or even if he was coming to the Nets originally. It's just an odd dynamic here where it looks like that organization needs to rescue itself, and maybe they will. But you know what we're going to do next? Talk a little college football coming up right here on the Early Line on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football is around the corner, and a good sign of that is yesterday, we were given the coaches' preseason poll, the top 25, with Alabama at the top. At top four, a lot of familiar faces. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson in that order. For the FanDuel Sportsbook odds for the national championship, they agree in the same exact order. Notre Dame rounds out the top five for the coaches' poll. That, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, looks a little different. Notre Dame checks in with the ninth best odds on FanDuel. In between them in the top four, USC, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Michigan. I want to take this in pieces here, DRS. You saw the top 10. What was your biggest takeaway from the coaches' poll?
I guess same old, Kevin, right? Where we're all worried about, you know, oh, look at the movement in these divisions and conferences and where we're going to be. Expanded playoffs, Kevin. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Clemson. It feels like you can rinse and repeat that every single year for the past couple years. And quite frankly, it's probably correct here at this point, Kevin. My takeaway is the best teams are always going to be in that top five, and primarily Alabama, Ohio State. It just seems like they are destined on a collision course to play every single year, it seems like, in the conference, playoffs.
For me, the team that jumped off was not within that top five. It was number nine, and that's Oklahoma. See, the interesting thing to me is we know an SEC team will be in, if not two. Bama and Georgia, people think both have a good chance to get in. We have every expectation that a Big Ten team will be in this field. Ohio State, the overwhelming favorites to be that representative. And then the waters are a little bit unclearer. And usually, we expect a Big 12 team to be in the mix. Last year, if you remember, Oklahoma had major, major expectations preseason. They were a team that the AP had at number two, the coaches' poll had at number three, and they were getting first-place votes. I know things are very different for Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams are in USC. Spencer Rattler's with South Carolina. But Brett Venables has been maybe the most respected and feared, to a degree, defensive coordinator in college football for a good time. And it takes a lot of pride in that OU job. Dillon Gabriel is someone that we've seen put up legitimate statistics throughout his collegiate career at UCF. You expect this Sooners offense to still be pretty solid. And if Venables can turn this defense around a little bit here, and they're still the favorites in the Big 12, is that a team that we might just be sleeping on a little bit when we talk about college football playoff contenders?
Yes, and here's the reason why, Kevin, because you see them number 9 overall, which you're figuring they have enough talent to certainly compete and be in the top 10 in college football. But so many times we take a look at the scheduling that these teams have and say, where can they wind up starting in the 9th overall position? And quite frankly, money moves everything, Kevin. If Lincoln Riley stayed in Norman and also still had Caleb Williams, where would they actually be ranked? Not 9th, they'd actually be higher. And also, I know we're not, you know, giving service here to say, okay, we broke down every single football team here in college football. But every time you flip on, let's just say, the schedule, Notre Dame is number 5 overall. You look at that and go, wow, they're 60-1. Why is that? Well, they play Ohio State game 1. Mm-hmm. So you figure they're going to be big dogs in that game, which they are, and will lose, and we'll see if they can rebound their season. But look at the Oklahoma Sooners schedule here, Kevin. UTEP, Kent State, Nebraska, Kansas State, TCU, Texas, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. We're not looking at, oh my goodness, they have Alabama in a showcase game in Atlanta week 1, where they're going to play an interconference game here, a battle between, you know, Oklahoma and Ohio State in week 7, like we've seen them do in the past, where Baker Mayfield's out there, you know, planting flags at Ohio State. It's not the case. This is a very manageable schedule, and we're talking about making the playoffs, which means if they go undefeated, there's a good chance that teams like Alabama, Georgia rack up a loss by playing in the SEC, or let's just say maybe Clemson slips because Notre Dame can beat them, but Notre Dame already had a loss from their opening game against Ohio State. There's a legitimate chance that even though we think Oklahoma might have a down season, which is crazy to think about for a top 10 team that has been voted in the preseason polls, but that schedule, it doesn't look daunting to me.
It's a schedule where of the 12 games, the expectation is they're probably favored in all of them but the Texas game. And that would be my main takeaway from the outside of the top 10 here.
Excuse me.
Well, I think that's going to be, neutral field as per. But here's my big takeaway, Donnie, outside of the top 10. We got a first place vote for Texas. The 18th team from the coach's poll, and we got ourselves a first place vote for Texas. But I'm trying to think about how someone lands on that. And I do think there is a clear and obvious answer. It's a 50-1 Quinn Ewers Heisman ticket. My point is, you cannot believe that Texas is your preseason best team in college football unless you think Quinn Ewers is the best quarterback in college football. Which, by the way, maybe isn't the craziest notion of all time. I mean, it's a little tough. Heisman option 1 and 2 return in C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. So it's not the easiest sell in the world, but Quinn Ewers and everything that he was supposed to be as a prospect might just play out in Texas. The tough thing, again, we talk about crashing that college football playoff party, is Texas scheduled Alabama this year. Now, if they beat Bama, then Buddy, who decided to put them in as the number 1 team in college football, is going to be feeling pretty good about himself or herself, whomever's doing the voting there. But this is a Texas team that if you're on, you have to have some Quinn Ewers 50-1 Heisman tickets in your back pocket.
And I can't wait for game number 2, right? Because they play ULM to open up the season, which they should be able to beat and beat soundly here. But then you get Alabama the following week at noon. Now, it's showing it's a home game for Texas. I'm not so sure we're looking at just this scheduling right here. If that's down in Jerry World, it's just a true home game for down in, you know, Austin, Texas for them. But I'm sure we'll get the memes, Texas is back, meaning that they're down 21-0 in the first quarter to the Alabama Crimson Tide. But if you're looking overall scheduling and you want to step up with the big boys, and if they can knock out Alabama, which I don't think they will, certainly they're going to be vaulted up. But I have to tell you, do we have these ballots? Are they open? Can you read to see who does this? Because who's to say, like, okay, I take this seriously, but nobody's ever going to know. And, you know, Donnie Wrightside sitting here in Southern New Jersey voted like the Miami Hurricanes number one. Why? Because I like him, and that's why I voted him one. I wanted to see him get a vote there because I know they'll appreciate that. You can't have this. Nobody in the right mind is saying Texas is the number one team coming into the college football season. Sometimes it feels like it does make a little bit of a mockery, but it's a fun talking point to be like, who actually did this? And will anybody actually own up to, oh, that was me? Because I do think Texas is the best team in the country.
More likely to have been the head coach, even though I know they don't usually do it, that put Texas one. Sark, Texas's head coach, or Nick Saban, to drum up nonsensical, nobody believes in us. They think Texas is better than you. It had to be Nick Saban, right? That voted them number one.
Or Saban had got like a phone call in, like, you know what? I heard it was Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin, Alabama, said Texas number one because they're going to beat us week two. And that's what you're spreading that rat poison around is what Nick Saban calls it here. You're right. That makes a lot of sense where imagine if it all boiled down to, hey, by the way, we had a breach in our voting rights and Nick Saban voted Texas the number one team in the country. It would be the best story for the first couple months of the college football season, bar none.
That's what I'm thinking happened here. 54 first place votes went Alabama's direction, 5 towards Ohio State, and 6 towards Georgia. I think one of the things, and we're going to be doing a lot of college football previews here as we get closer and closer to the season. One of the things that you're going to find we'll find it difficult, you out there are going to find it difficult, is really finalizing your 4 college football playoff teams. We know there's a big 3, but 2 of them are from the same conference, and a lot of question marks throughout the landscape past that. We'll get there in time. But up next, go to Major League Baseball. Preview today's slate right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line, making it happen with you. Some Major League Baseball preview. Yesterday, if memory serves, solid day on the diamond, right? Orioles, Blue Jays, I know we try to overcomplicate it, but I feel like the end result there was an over. The Yanks game, I know you told people would have some juice. All in all, this thing worked out, right?
Yeah, there's a couple unders on the card yesterday that we were looking at as well, which came in late night on that West Coast. So it was a decent night. Could have been a really good night if the Mets, who ended up scoring 5 runs, had them going over 5.5. They get to the 9th inning. Looks like they only had 3 runs. And you say, here we go. Triple. You got a man on third base. McCann comes up. You know how that one's going to end here. And then also take a look at Toronto, who I needed one more run out of for at least a push. Came up in the 9th inning. 2 men on and nobody out. Pop-up fly, double play ball, you're out of that inning. But it did work out well because, remember yesterday, what was the key game? Chicago Cubs, oh my God, the wind is blowing in. They were hitting 400-foot missiles into the left field seats, man. So stop reading the weather conditions in Chicago and saying it can't go over. Man.
You know, keep reading them there. Man, the first 3 runs of the game were all like basically 400-foot home runs there, which is fantastic. The first 3 RBIs, I guess I should kind of say there. I also, by the way, you know that they robbed Lindor of a 2-run homer in that Mets game? So that's not great. Whenever you're trying to go over.
Come on now. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, they did. I didn't see it. Oh, no. It was like a web gem, which I know is your least favorite thing in baseball.
It is.
Like Al Mora, hand over the fence, like robbed a 2-run shot from Frankie Lindor. So,
of course.
Which is not. I'll tell you what, folks. The time has passed. I guess if we ever got back to it on Moneyline, but the in-play sports tonight, watching a Donnie Wrightside team total come in, and when the web gems would start to fly, listen, I always have told you, I think I was rooting for your team totals as much as you were, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't love when we would get back-to-back web gems. That was a good time.
Yeah, like runs should be on the board immediately. These guys are stealing, you know, in the dub. But also, there was a time where there was an odds boost out here, people. I want you to remember that included the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles back when the Orioles stunk. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy on the opposite microphone and the actively cheering on for my destruction and terror in that game. And I ended up losing that odds boost all because he didn't get a chance to take that odds boost. So that's a story for another day.
That's a there's like 70% truth to what you're saying there. 70%. There's 30% a little false. The one thing I've learned is I think that really did stick in your craw there. My rooting interest, which maybe we'll call it even then over the year plus that we've been doing this. Zach Wheeler's got the ball. Phillies Marlins. Yep. Listen, a -245 number here on Zach Wheeler. Under the radar season. For Zach Wheeler. Last year was in the Cy Young race. I feel like if you ask somebody, hey, how's Zach Wheeler been? They should be like, meh, fine. Hey, like top 10 in almost every pitching statistic. This guy's fantastic. He's a legitimate ace. Whether he or Nola's the best pitcher, it doesn't matter. That's what you like to have here. A strong 1-2 punch. It's what the Phils got in Nola and Wheeler. What do you make today of this Phillies price?
Handle your business, Phillies. That's what you're supposed to do in this situation. And the first time in a long time, Kevin, where you line up against the Nationals and the Marlins, who usually would roundly beat you. Like, how can you lose to the Marlins but beat the Atlanta Braves? That's what used to happen. But the Phillies may have turned a corner here. But I got to tell you, if we're looking at last 30 days between these two pitchers, both of them, Kevin, have been sensational. Now, the one interesting point is going to be it is hot as all get out in the Philadelphia area. So, obviously, playing in Citizens Bank Ballpark tonight, that ball is going to be traveling. But having said that, Garrett, the lefty, due to start tonight, how about this? An xFIP number of 2.55 over the past 30 days. And you'll love this, Kevin. 93 batters he's faced. You know his strikeout rate? 40%, which is incredible to think about. Lefties, a 106 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 286 weighted on base percentage. He's been great. Now, also, if you take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies, though, their lineup over the past month or so against left-handed pitching, they have been sensational. Let me rip off from the number two hitter to the number seven hitter tonight of the anticipated lineup here for the Phillies and their weighted on base averages, Kevin, against left-handed pitching. Hoskins, 415. Bohm, 589. Realmuto, 437. Castellanos, 375. Veerling, 355, and Gene Segura, 869. Now, the 869 for Segura is through one at bat, but still included in there nonetheless. But you know what I'm taking a look at, Kevin? First five innings tonight. I just told you, it's hot. The Phillies can hit. But I got to tell you, I like the under 4.5 of the FanDuel Sportsbook tonight. It's juicy. I don't see five runs in the first five innings tonight between these two pitchers.
I like that you called yourself out there on the Gene Segura sample size. You could have let that one.
Nobody would have known. Yeah. One at bat, smoked it. Where'd that ball go, man? Deep? Jeez. You might have smoked that pitch.
Calculate these things.
Yeah. How did you get an 869 out of that, too? Yeah. Well, maybe there had to have been a walk, I guess, included, and maybe like a – now, did the baseball go far? It was like, hey, you know, that's a double. That's one of the best doubles you're ever going to see. Let's give it a little bit of boost there. I don't know. That sounds kind of pricey there. One at bat, 869 weighted on base percentage.
All right, there you go. So what do you like, Gene Segura, 2-plus bags? Man. I mean –
I mean, he can get 2-plus bags on a single, apparently, with that statistic. So, yeah, cash that in.
Oh, man, that's not good. We're messed up early. We got a half hour left. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to make it through, not at this rate.
Somebody put some music under this segment. Come on now.
I tell you what, if a beat drop, I'd have to walk right off of the set.
Yeah.
Here come the Cincinnati Reds. The Mets are starting to look like they're the best team in baseball with some of the pricing that you're seeing here against the Cincinnati Reds. But it's just another reminder of what happens when you see these really bad teams go up against baseball's elite. Over -300 with Carlos Carrasco on the mound. 8.5 total. The Mets yesterday dominated, cover a run line. How do you approach Mets-Reds?
Yeah, Mets should be able to dominate again tonight because you're looking at each and every night. It's almost like let's just say like the Dodgers, but with superstars for the Mets and their pitching staff. Whoever starts for the Mets on the line, whoever closes for the Mets, it seems like it doesn't matter. They are absolutely dominant. And Mike Minor coming into today, Kevin, over the last 30 days, how about this xFIP number? 7.34. Striking out about 20% of the guys he's faced, which isn't bad, but look at his walk percentage, 14%. And also, one of the key ingredients here. It's the Northeast. It's going to be hot once again. Last night, I told you I like the over 5.5 as a team total for the Mets. I'm going to jump right back into the Mets again tonight. Why is that? Ground ball percentage for Mike Minor, who's a lefty, 22%. That means close to 80% of the baseballs are line drives or fly balls. That is disastrous. And if we're taking a look here at a true lefty-righty split for Minor against left-handed batters, he's been dominant. He's faced 16 of them, handled his business, a zero ISO power number. But let's flip it over to right-handed batters here going up against Mike Minor. 76 over the past month, Kevin, 437 weighted on base percentage. ISO power number, 297. Mets are going to hit tonight. I'm not going to be shy because now that you told me about a web gem yesterday that was stolen from me, they should be able to approach 5 to 6 runs again tonight, even though you're only getting 8 at-bats.
Carlos Carrasco is also someone whose strikeout prop looks a little enticing here. This is a Reds team that has been striking out a ton recently, and the early numbers here on Carrasco look enticing. 5.5, though, -130 juice, so it could very well be on the move as the day continues. Guardians, Tigers, you want to talk about a matchup with... Man, the Guardians are one of those teams, again, I feel like if I asked someone to guess their record, they would have no idea that they are... Very, very much so in the hunt to win a division. Like, yes, but like they're right there. Like, I see Tigers Gardens, like, a couple of teams not in the race. That's not true. That's not true at all. We've got a almost -200 price on Shane Bieber on the road. Total's a 7.5. Where is the value in this game?
I mean, Bieber should really dominate. So just in the notes here, I put down an under just for the fact that Bieber's got a 3 XFIP number over the past 30 days. But take a look at this year, 25% strikeout rate, only walking less than 3% of the batters that he does face. Look at his weighted on base percentage. Bieber, a right-handed pitcher to lefties, a 229 weighted on base percentage, and to righties, a 240. And if we take a look, you know that Detroit lineup, it doesn't matter. April, May, June, the hitting months in July, it doesn't matter. The team stinks, specifically against right-handed pitching. Only one batter, which is Castro, a lefty, due to hit out of the fifth spot today, a 337 weighted on-base percentage. Everybody else is below and really below. Now, the only issue that you might have is, okay, what are we going to get out of the Cleveland bats today? Alexander's got a high XFIP, Kevin, a left-handed pitcher over the past 30 days of close to a 5.56. Reason being in, a little too many fly balls and not a lot of strikeouts. Usually you don't survive in Major League Baseball, Kevin, was striking out 10% of the batters you face because that means balls are in play, home runs, hits, and also productive outs can be there. But take a look at his weighted on base percentage here. To lefties, keep in mind again, Alexander, left-handed pitcher, a 262 weighted on base percentage. To righties, a 290. So I'm thinking Bieber shuts down the Detroit offense. Even if, you know, we're taking a look and say Cleveland can do a little bit of damage, I still think an under's in the forecast for me tonight.
I got to tell you, while you were giving a fantastic breakdown to the people, a big-time NFL story that you will certainly have a lot of interest in was breaking, which involves the Cincinnati Bengals' new stadium name. It is it doesn't jump off the page, I'll be honest with you here. Paycor Stadium, I think it's like an HR firm that did a quick Google. I mean,
that's good. That's good. No, it actually should be simple because I read it here. The Schefter tweet is the home of the Cincinnati Bengals no longer is Paul Brown Stadium. It's now Paycor Stadium. Do they mean Pay Joe Stadium? Is that what it should be? You know what I mean? That's the only reason why that thing sold. There you go. Right on the fly. Didn't have to think about it. No, my comedian career is certainly underway, but that is a very good one, which, man, can I change up that listen up segment now to just let it go? Maybe I can. Can the producers handle that, K-Dub?
Yeah, I don't know. We have to see what the graphics team is looking like there. I mean, but Donnie, the official Paycor Stadium Twitter page. I mean, they've got less than 200 followers here. I mean, are they going to do Are they going to do a follow back Friday? I mean, try and up those numbers here a little bit, or what?
And don't make any nicknames up about Paycor Stadium. They don't like that, Kevin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the early line. Let's get to some more baseball preview here. The Cardinals take their hot winning streak into Colorado, and they're about a -170 price here. Big time total. It's an 11. Feltner, Michaelis. I'm seeing a big total here, and it was 11.5, so it's come down a taste. What are you doing? Maybe the total has your eye.
Yeah, if we're taking a look here at pitching matchups here, Feltner over the past 30 days, he's the scheduled starter tonight, the right-handed pitchers. XFIP, Kevin, actually isn't that bad. It's slightly over a 4, but again, doesn't strike out a lot of batters. Only 15% of the batters that he's faced, he has struck out. But let's take a look in his limited, you know, innings per se. 34 batters that he's faced on the season. Lefties, 17 of those, Kevin. 430 weighted on base percentage. ISO power number of 250. Righties, a 357 weighted on base percentage. Why is that important? Right-handed batters going up against... right-handed pitchers going up against the St. Louis Cardinals. They have done a lot of damage here, Kevin. Take a look at Carlson in the leadoff spot, only a 167. But after that, look at these ISO power numbers. Gorman, 258. Goldschmidt, 274. Arenado, 293. Nootbaar, 250. And DeJong, a 478. The only guy that's sort of a downstroke there is O'Neill, who's had 47 at-bats from the right-handed pitchers. He's only got a 100 ISO power number. But we're talking in Colorado. I'm not scared of those numbers. I get a guaranteed 9 at-bats. Maybe we get an over because Michaelis is a good pitcher, but we know things do change once you get to Colorado. But we're focused here on a St. Louis Cardinals team total to the over, even though it is quite expensive.
Here's the thing for me, though. Nolan Arenado, you know, in Colorado, always is going to have my attention here. It's a dinger Tuesday. A lot of things lining up. That's a plus 300 price there. This might be your perfect game to be in the mix in, and he could very well be the perfect guy to be in the mix. Is there one guy from this group, Donnie, if people are going to get involved with a dinger Tuesday that you're most interested in?
You know, it's kind of interesting because if you're looking for those longer shots, and if we go to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, just to look at some pricing, you're right. Nolan Arenado, a 293 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 449. He is coming in here at a plus 300 price. But if you want to go a little bit more down, take a look at this. Paul DeJong is estimated batting out of the 7-hole tonight, Kevin, against right-handed batters over the past 30 days, a 478 ISO power number and a 392 weighted on base percentage. And I'm just looking right now. He's in the anticipated starting lineup, plus 390 price. So close to a 4-to-1 price on Paul DeJong. That might be a spot that you want to go, but also Goldschmidt has a good chance. Gorman has a good chance. You're right. This is one of those games where you're in Coors. You have a questionable pitcher against a hot lineup against right-handed pitching. Makes some sense to go that direction.
No doubt about it. Moving over to Diamondbacks Pirates. The late slate had no runs on it yesterday. Three shutouts in three games on that late slate. It was the Pirates who were held scoreless, and the Diamondbacks are a favorite here at about a minus 150 price on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Could today perhaps see a bounce back in the runs category?
I think we might get a little bit of a bounce back in the runs category. And quite frankly, Kevin, as we're trying to set this up, Pittsburgh and Arizona, Thompson, the right-handed pitcher on the mound here for those Pittsburgh Pirates, close to a 5X FIP over the past 30 days. But how about this? 32 batters that he's faced from the left-hand side, a 396 weighted on base percentage, an ISO of 333. Why is that important? Typically, we take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup with so many lefties they have, typically two right-handed batters in the lineup today. We're looking at only one right-handed batter in the lineup. Eight lefties in the lineup against Thompson, who has struggled against left-handed batters. Now, they're the best batters in the world that you're just going to line up and say, I'm going to have this on my Dinger Tuesday lineup. Maybe not, but there should be more than enough runs possible here for an Arizona team total here just by the lefties alone.
Gotcha. Yeah, bad pitchers matching up here. That total was a 9. It's come down to an 8.5, so perhaps a buyback point here in Diamondbacks Pirates. Otani has the ball tonight for the Los Angeles Angels. For the second time, he is matched up against Caprillion. It is under minus 200. Look at this total, man. 6.5 in a Caprillion start. I mean, that speaks volumes to Otani. It speaks even larger volumes to the state of both of these lineups. What are we doing here for an Otani start?
Yeah, this game should probably take about an hour and a half, you know, all the way through. Both of these pitchers are probably going to be mowing down these lineups. If we look at Shohei Ohtani, a 1.96 xFIP number, how about his strikeout percentage, Kevin, over the past month? 41% of the batters he's faced, he has struck out. He's had a little bit of trouble against lefties, but you're talking about pitching in the ultimate pitcher's ballpark, which I don't even have to check. Let me guess. 60 degrees at first pitch tonight, light wind blowing out 10 miles an hour, which it always does out there in Oakland. There shouldn't be very much hitting going on in this game at all. Now, you say, look, talk. It's 3-3, and you get yourself an over. I understand that. And even though Kaprielian does have a high xFIP over the past month at a 5.22, his splits are actually pretty good here. Weighted on base percentage to lefties here, Kevin, a 247. To righties, a 284. He just doesn't strike out enough guys and is a fly ball pitcher. But if there's one ballpark you can get away with being a fly ball pitcher, it's out in Oakland. Two really bad baseball teams playing on the West Coast. Not many options in this game to watch and have fun with where you could say, hey, Ohtani's going to try to get back in here, Kevin, and have an MVP run. No, he's not. So I don't know what the reason is to watch this or stay up. If you're an East Coast guy, I'll probably be fast asleep by the time Ohtani throws his first pitch in this ballgame.
I got to tell you, though, I think the fans might be fast asleep. It was a Kaprielian-Ohtani matchup. By the way, when these teams met back in L.A., and it was a 3-1 final. One number I'm a little interested in. Now, again, when it comes to strikeout props, for me, it's very, very projection-based. The Ohtani number at 7.5 minus 144 to the over is not about a projection number. It's about Ohtani. Double digits in six consecutive starts, missed out last go-around with only seven, but only pitched 5 2/3. Could Ohtani bounce back in the strikeout market? I think that's reasonable, and I think it's something we keep an eye on. How about Yankees? By the way, as we're doing this here, Roquan Smith just requested a trade out of Chicago, the Bears linebacker. That is something that I am sure we will be able to cover a lot more for you tomorrow, as well as hit quite a bit on radio. So keep make sure you're there, 1 p.m. Eastern start time for Moneyline on Sports Grid Radio. Yankees, Mariners, and if I may, I think that this is a spot where you have to back the New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole, to me, while not the most reliable ace in the world, some people, last go around when Gerrit Cole was lit up by this Seattle team, telling me he is not an ace. Maybe not. It depends kind of how you make the definition. But he certainly paid like one, and the Yankees are certainly hoping that he is going to be one. And his last couple of outings are ugly. But largely, this is a pitcher that I trust to bounce back. I think you are looking at a guy that is going to be going at least six, if not seven, maybe even eight innings tonight, and he will keep the Mariners under two earned runs for himself tonight. Maybe the specifics of this matchup then is to just grab a Mariners team total over, but sadly, the Yankees bullpen right now has become a little less reliable, and that's a low Seattle number right now at 3. Gerrit Cole, minus 135. I know it's on the road. I am drawn towards the Yankees. What do the numbers tell you here?
Yeah, and also, I think they tell you to look towards an under, and rightfully so. You have two aces on the mound, and we know Gerrit Cole got touched up last time out against the Seattle Mariners. I get that, but also changing environments, going to a different ballpark, which is a much more pitcher-friendly ballpark than hitter-friendly ballpark that you had in the last start that we saw where he got crushed at Yankee Stadium. But also, how about this? It's usually you say to yourself, okay, you like your ace pitcher at home. It's not necessarily a home game for Luis Castillo, as if he's used to pitching out there at Safeco, or excuse me, T-Mobile is now what it's called out on the West Coast. So I do think the under plays into it, and I do think there's a bounce back, but you're right at this point. You say to yourself with Gerrit Cole, well, this lineup knows they can get to him early, and you're not talking about Kevin at the cash in. Hey, they're 4.5 as a team total at this point. That's not the case. You're probably going to get 9 at bats, but I do look for a Yankees bounce back. That was a great win for them yesterday. Not to say they needed it. Oh, man, our season was going to go off the rails if we didn't beat the Seattle Mariners last night. That's not the case, but it's nice to get that win under your belt. And Gerrit Cole, I'm sure, wants to go out and prove himself. And even with that ridiculous start that he just had, how about this xFIP for the month? A 2.53 K percentage, 36%. And certainly dominating against left-handed batters, a 261 weighted on base percentage, which we know the Seattle Mariners, Frazier lefty, Winker lefty, Santana lefty, Crawford, Rowley, and Kelenic, all lefties here. That's what he's supposed to do and do well. We'll see if he has that bounce back performance tonight. I think he does. And if it takes 8 to beat me tonight, maybe a 4-2 final is what I'm looking at here.
Let me ask you quickly, it is Dinger Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge is a guy that I think a lot of people like to line up, obviously. Plus 300. The Judge number is very rarely bigger than minus 250. Castillo's very good. Ballpark isn't as friendly. Homered last night. At plus 300, I know usually for you when you do home run props, it's more about your numbers than the actual price itself. But could you make a case for Judge at that plus 300 price, or Castillo deserves too much respect?
Well, let's take a look at what happened even last night and try to equate it to today's game. If you take a look at Luis Castillo over the past 30 days, he's been great. He's got an xFIP that's close to four, but you're talking about a lefty going up against a lefty, which again, Judge is a righty. We'll get to that in just a few moments. 268, but the lefties, 268, righties, a 265. Then you say, okay, he doesn't line up all that well against Castillo. Let's take a look at Aaron Judge over the last 30 days against right-handed pitching. Absolutely mashing. A 456 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 493. Why is this important? You saw last night, Kevin. It wasn't about the starting pitcher. When did he homer? Didn't homer in the first inning, third inning, fifth inning, where the starting pitcher will be in. It's the ninth inning. Every time Aaron Judge comes up to the plate, he can do damage. So if you're saying it's not the best matchup against Luis Castillo, he might get two at-bats against the bullpen for the Mariners, which does have a solid bullpen, but sometimes with home run props, it can't just be pitcher versus hitter, because as you saw last night, if that was the case, all right, Judge didn't homer. Yes, he did. He hit one in the ninth inning. Maybe that's another look tonight. When a batter is hot, it certainly doesn't matter who he's going up against, it seems like, because quite frankly, a 456 ISO is ridiculous off the charts. That's not Kevin, again, one at-bat like Gene Segura. That's 96 at-bats over the past 30 days. He has been scorching, riding out the hot streaks. Maybe that just makes sense tonight.
Certainly, look, I don't think anyone's ever going to go wrong, right, trying to get involved with Aaron Judge on a Dinger Tuesday. So for you, it looks like Cardinals-Rockies kind of is that primary game. One game that you're probably not going to go to is Padres-Giants. Musgrove has the ball. The Padres are favored again. It's a group that needs to snap out of it, certainly. But I'm curious about the Padres lineup here specifically. This is a team total that checks in tonight at a four. Minus 108 right now to the over. So essentially kind of pick 'em range there. Not much juice. Five runs is more runs than they have scored in their last four games combined. Is Cobb a guy that you think the Padres have a chance to get right against?
They should be able to get right against him, because if you're taking those 30-day snapshots here and you include Soto and also Bell coming over National League guys to the National League again, look at some of these weighted on-base percentages. Anticipated lineup tonight going up against Cobb. Profar, weighted on-base percentage, 365. Soto, 449. Bell, 361. Cronenworth, 431. Drury, 361. There's so much talent in that lineup. They shouldn't go 23 or so odd innings without scoring a run. It's kind of ridiculous. But if you look at Cobb, he's been very good. And this is a pitcher's ballpark out in San Diego. He's got a 317. xFIP number. If we take a look at those lefty-righty splits, more importantly, the power numbers, Kevin. ISO, 032 against lefties, 091 against righties. It's not a great line. Excuse me. It's not a great pitching matchup here to get right. But if we're just looking at regular statistics here against a lineup that usually hits well against right-handed pitching, you should get some runs here. No doubt about it from the San Diego Padres.
We're still waiting on this first Juan Soto San Diego home run as well.
Yeah.
Juan Soto was really heating up in the home run department as we were approaching the trade deadline, and that has cooled off a little bit right now. His last home run, he has hit home run. His last home run, right, came against Max Scherzer and has yet to hit one here since in San Diego. Tonight, plus 350 in that market. Before you go anywhere, you make sure you listen up as Donnie Wrightside closes out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early line, SiriusXM Channel 159, radio on the Sports Grid Network. Myself, Donnie Wrightside, along with Kevin Walsh, as always, powering you through from 7 to 9 a.m. to set the table before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. A lot of topics always come up live. We're a live show. We like to give the people what they want. Roquan Smith wants out of Chicago. What's going right there? Absolutely nothing. And also, how about this? The Cincinnati Bengals, once again, a change in the naming rights for their stadium in anticipation of paying Joe Burrow. Now, we talk about those news highlights, right? Aaron Rodgers is always in the news for the right and wrong reasons. Listen up. And yes, Aaron Rodgers is never out of the news, it seems like here. Now, granted, he had an offseason where he got paid a lot of money, saw his best wide receiver get packaged on his way down to Las Vegas and say, you know what? I think I'm fine. Romeo Doubs stepping up here. He's just as good as Davante Adams. We'll see what happens in the regular season. But sometimes it feels like it's always the offseason about Aaron Rodgers. Last year, don't you remember? I won't play for the Packers. They got to fire Mr. Gutekunst, and otherwise, I'm out of here. And one last ride with Davante Adams, only to have it feel like I'm coming back to the Green Bay Packers, and so is Davante Adams. That didn't happen, but again, Aaron Rodgers got paid. But how about this? NFL says the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers' use of ayahuasca didn't violate the drug policy. Say, what is he actually doing? Well, typical Aaron Rodgers fashion, going on a retreat and drinking a hallucinogenic drink here during the offseason doesn't violate anything that the NFL has with their NFL drug policy. Now, I don't know about you or me, but if I'm going on retreats here and I'm taking hallucinogenic drugs on the side, probably going to keep that to myself, because even if it is not in the overall PED scheme for the NFL, I don't know if I let that get out there. Now the NFL starts snooping around. Now you struggle out of the gate. Well, what do you want? You're tripping here in the offseason and doing it legally, apparently. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. Can we just get back to the football field and play football? Hopefully so, because in less than a month time, we're going for real in the NFL. Stay tuned right now on the Sports Grid Network. Ben Stevens has control next.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.